Saturday Night Theatre, we present Sebastian Shaw in The Golden Arrow, Mary Webb's novel, adapted for radio by Penelope Shaw and Norman Paty, with Marjorie Westbury, Jill Mears, and Anthony Pedley. The Golden Arrow.
They're coming. I see him down by the back stone now. Eli's walking as determined, angry as ever, making up sins for other folks to repent of till he can't see anything in the world.
You must put a bit of honey out for tea, Mother.
John, you spendthrift. And not but a pound or two left for the last taking. After all, it's only Eli and Lelo.
Well, Eli's got no honey in his heart, so he must have some in his belly, whether or no. What do you say, Deborah?
I think Lydia'd like the honey anyways, Father. Good afternoon, Mr. Hunchbatch.
Well, Deborah, I see you going the broad road, ribbons and fanglement sigh. The woman of Babylon decked herself for the young captains.
I think she looks very nice, Father.
Thank you, Lily.
Mama, what that flagon will bring a good price come Christmas.
Dinner, Clouter, me lie. But as soon they come round me, then find the pot of gold under the rainbow. They're my friends, as you know well. And they're not speechless from emptiness of heart. No, sorrowful and loving they be.
Mate, that's what they be.
Isn't he an old beast, Deb? I hate him more every day. Oh, and I wish I could get married, that I do. He's always growling and grudging and taking on religious all at once. I haven't so much as got a bit of ribbon nor nothing.
Come here, Lil, take this rose. It's nicer than ribbon. And Joe likes red.
Where is Joe, anyway?
Oh, he's a-making at the Shakeshaft's farm. But it's so near that he comes back to his tea now and again.
Oh, can I go to your room, Deb, and do my hair? My curls do blow about so. I should think you're glad yours is straight and never blows out in curls.
Aye.
Do you like these sausage curls at the back?
Aye.
Well, you never look, Deborah Arden. I suppose you're jealous.
I was looking at that shadow over there. It's like a finger pointing straight at you and me, Lil. A long finger as you can't get away from. What is it token?
Weddings?
Maybe. Or maybe summer darker.
Oh, don't be so creepy, Deb.
Deb, go and bang the tray for Joe. There's a good girl. Here it is.
All right, Mother.
I'll go with her, Mrs. Arden.
And don't take all day about it. I'm going in now. Come and have your tea, you men.
He was terror with the men, he said, and the mother was the same.
He was a good wife and mother, as we all well know.
You've been spreading yourself a bit, missus, by the looks of your table. Have you come by your fortune or something, John?
No, just hard work, Eli. Sit you down now and help yourself to honey.
I'll do that.
There's enough acid in it to suit your taste. Well, poor Thomas of Wood's End's gone at last, I'm told. You'll be making the oration at the funeral, I suppose, Eli?
No, I been good enough for him, seemingly. Some young chaps to do it as is new in these parts. Name of Stephen Southernwood. Foreman at the Lost Willing Spa, mine all talking no work. And women after him like sheep at a gap. I shan't go.
I'm going. He was a good neighbour, was Thomas.
Is this young Stephen Southernwood married or single, Eli?
Why, I'm single, I'm told.
Oh. I'm back, Mother.
Come and sit down by me, Deb, and have your tea. Where's Lily?
Oh, she said for me to come on ahead. She's waiting for Joe.
Always hanging around the men, she be. Always hanging around.
Oh,
well.
Waiting for me?
No danger. What are you gallivanting here for, Joe, when they're haymaking?
My tea. Lil, will you come along and be to the fair on Lammas holiday?
I'm afraid I cannot.
Oh, Lil, I saved 5 shilling on purpose.
Well, if I come, will you bring Deb too?
Deb? Lord, I didn't want Deb.
Well, it's not proper without.
Oh, all right then.
And, Joe, as Deb would be dull when we went off together, and as she didn't like the chaps about here much, why not ask that new chap, that one that's come to work at the Lost Within Mines? He's a town chap and very smart, they say. He's going to speak at Thomas of Wood's End's funeral come Sunday. You could ask him then.
If I do, will you come along to the chapel along with me? and walk back arm in arm and promise to come to Lammas Fair?
If the new chap will come too. All right.
Oh, what little small arms you've got, Lil. And shining white. I wish...
What, Joe?
Oh, never mind. Come Sunday night when we're by the little wood and it's all quiet. Maybe I'll stay.
Now, Rover, lad. You cannot come along with me today.
Be you going to the funeral this eve, Father? Ain't it blowing up for a tempest?
Aye, poor Thomas cannot wait, whatever the weather. I'll fail him if I don't go.
Well, isn't Mother going with you?
No, she's had a call. Mrs. Cadwallader's baby be on the way.
Well, I'll come with you then. Wait for me. I can't let you go alone, Father.
Deb, how bright and spry you be today. The young chaps will be all of a bother.
It's only my old gown, Father. You didn't tease me.
I'm not teasing, lass. You'll like chapel on Christmas night. Lit for marvels, like your little lamp at home.
How long have you been lighting it for me?
Ever since you fell down the stairs when you was a little un.
You the best father in the world.
Oh.
What a queer day it is. As if summit was foreboding.
Aye. There's a tempest brewing. It's too bright.
It's all as bright afore a storm, isn't it?
Aye. Deb, look there. The flock master goes westering. And the brown water and the blue wind above the cloud and the kestrels. And you and me, they all follow after him. Listen, Deb. What a noise of little leaves clapping in the coppie. 'Tis him. The flock master shakes the leaves and sends love like forked lightning. Him as the stars fall before like white wool at sheep shearing. There's a name beyond all names, and I'd ask you to keep it in mind in the dark days that'll come on your Deb. For I see him coming like hawks from the rocks. And though you'd be rent like struck pine, mind you of that name and you shall be saved. Mind you of Cariad, for that's how they name him in the singing Welsh. Cariad, the flock master. Oh, dear, boy. I must bide a bit. I'm confused and all of a tremble.
Sit down a while, Father, and rest. It's not far to the chapel, and we've plenty.
That was a right good oration, Mr. Southernwood, and spoken with real feeling.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Arden. Speaking comes easily to me, you know. I'm glad you liked it.
Ah, but would Thomas of Woods End have liked it? That's what I'd like to know.
Well, I'm afraid it's too late to ask him now, Mr. Huntbatch.
Be you presuming to speak disrespectful of the dead, young man?
Well, why, no, Mr. Huntbatch. I was
the
just...
angel of the Lord was smite thee with a
sword. Now, Eli, I'm sure Mr. Southernwood meant no disrespect to Thomas, nor to you neither.
Indeed not, Mr. Huntbatch.
Now, Joe, go on, ask him.
Mr. Southernwood, Lily wants to know...
Oh, Lil, what'd you pinch me for? That hurts.
What Joe's trying to say, Mr. Southernwood, is can you come along with us to Lammas Fair a fortnight on Tuesday? I'd like you to come along special.
Oh, that's right, to keep our Deb company.
Joe! Oh, I never said.
We thought as you might like to make a foursome with Joe and his sister Deborah and with me, of course.
I should very much like to. If you'll introduce me to the lady.
Oh, aye. Deborah, this gent's Mr. Southernwood. He's coming along of us to the Lammas Fair, so you needn't be lonesome.
Deborah, what a lovely name. Perfect for you. I saw you in chapel, you know.
I'm pleased to meet you, Mr. Southernwood.
Most undecent the way he's looking at your Deb, John.
Come on now, Lil. You know what you promised.
Oh, you pinched me again. What have I said now?
Bring him home, Deb.
Hi, Father.
Then.
Here we are, Mother.
Come on in. I thought you got struck by lightning.
And how was the funeral, John?
We laid him to rest, just as he'd have wanted. How did your day go, Mother?
They're both doing well. Only the poor child's a very spitting image of his father, more's the pity. Deb, they're staying down at sleep as the Berry Igles coming Friday, and I thought to go picking tomorrow, if so be you'll come. We best be early if we want any.
Mm-hmm. All right, Mother.
Gracious me, what ails our Deb?
Not as I know of.
Could be the heat, maybe.
Aye.
What was the new chap like?
New chap?
This Mr. Southernwood has made the oration.
Oh. No great shakes.
Well, what's he like to look at, then?
Long in the straw and a yellow head like a bit of good wheat. And he can talk, as Eli said.
Mm-hmm. And where's our Joe?
Bringing his girl along.
Well, Dilly's a tidy girl enough. I've not again her, barring Eli.
Where's my devoted daughter?
Oh, talk of the devil.
She's coming along, Eli.
Oh, good hiding. That's what she wants, to take the old one out of her. But I'm too kind to her. Left the milk in the pail she did out in the sun. Never so much as put it in the dairy. Left it to
store. Now, we're only young once, Eli.
Oh, I learn her to be young, traipsing along a young Joe and be dizing herself like the whore of Babylon.
Why, Father, whatever be you doing here?
I've come to fetch you home, girl. What about them 6 quarts of milk you left to sour?
Now, Eli, don't scold a girl for a chaff.
Joe's not my chaff. He's a great gobby.
Oh, Lord, what have I done now?
Tell you, what says the book of the tying of hair and the putting on of apparel?
Joe? Would you like to come along a bit of the way home with me?
No, I wouldn't. Not after what you just called me.
You come along home with me now, girl, and see if you can set off to rights.
Good night, then, Eli. Good night, Lily. And God be with you.
And with this house. Leastways, this small cottage.
Oh, my goodness. What's come over everyone?
A great gobby. That's what she called me.
Mother, I'm just going to put the cattle in the shippen before the storm comes. And if I was you, Joe, lad, I'd go a bit of a walk around to Eli's place tonight. I don't know, like his look. And Lily's a small thing, tongue or no tongue.
It's been warm again. You can take them poppies and that good corn out of your hat.
Oh, well, they were dead anyway.
Stamp on them.
Oh, sorry.
Come here.
Let go my arm.
Your hat's good enough for such as you without trimming. I marvel as Joe'd think on you. With straws and old dead flowers hanging round you and your hair all wispy. And a smudge on your nose. And that undecent bodice. You know better than you should be showing yourself half naked. And now we're home. There's them 6 quarts of sour milk. Waste not, want not. Before you go to bed tonight, you've to set it for milk cheese.
There's no muslin to strain it with.
There's muslin on your back. You'll rip your blouse and make the cheese in a mat.
I won't, so there.
You'll take it off now, do you hear? Oh, must I do it for you?
Oh, stop it. Folks will see me. I'll be disgraced.
You don't mind having only a bit of muslin that took you in disgrace. So you might as well be without. Now, say you repent. Go on, say you repent.
I repent.
Oh, that won't do. Kneel down, say a prayer.
I cannot.
Kneel down, I said.
I am sorry, Lord. I repent. I won't do it again. Forgive me, Lord.
Now get up and sit on this chair. Now then, take them pins out of your hair.
No!
Come on.
Not the shears. Just don't come
on. Quiet, quiet, I say. These yellow tresses be the source of your wickedness, my girl. You'll be better off without them.
I'll never forgive you. Never. Oh, my hair. Everyone says it's so pretty.
There. That's a temptation gone. And now, sweep them tresses up and go and do the cheeses.
I won't. I'll kill you first. Then you come near me. Got your rope gun.
So, you'd shoot your own father, would you, Lillian? Very well. To vanity and murder. Go on. Shoot me.
I will.
Mr. Hunters! Lil!
Joe!
You'll see your chemise. Get upstairs.
Oh, he might have seen me like this. He might have seen me like this.
Where's Lily?
Titivating, most likely.
Why you want to see her?
What for?
Mr. Humpbatch, you're her dad, so I try to be dutiful. But when I come to tell her something, I tell her. I don't mouth it to other folks first. Where's Lily?
Titivating, most likely.
Why you want to see her?
What for?
Mr. Humpbatch, you're her dad, so I try to be dutiful. But when I come to tell her something, I tell her. I don't mouth it to other folks first.
Lillian! Lil!
Yes? Is that you, Joe?
Why, Lil, what have they been doing to you? Mr. Huntbatch. They want to know back home if you can spare Lil to go burying tomorrow. I was to take her back tonight, if she'll come.
Oh, you was, would you? Well, of course, if your mother wants
it. Well, you come along with me.
Well, I can't adjust my hair. What do your folks say?
There, there. Here, tie my kerchief around it. And Eli.
Yes?
There's a bit of plaster gone from the wall above your chair. I'd see to it if I was you.
You sharp-eyed all of a sudden.
Go on, Bill.
Yes. Come on, Bill. Put a leg behind. And you too, Deb.
Too hot to pick berries.
Ah, it's real picker's weather. Now we've got to start on the rest. Let's see if we can get two or three quarts before we have our dinner.
Three quarts?
Oh, we never will.
Well, here are some good ones, Mother.
Oh, good girl. Well, Deb, I wonder when Mr. Wright's coming along for you. And I wonder what he'll be like. Light-haired for sure. Folks always like their opposites.
So I'll fight along of you and Father. I don't like them.
Well, I never... But Joel not bide with us long, no danger. He'll be wanting them fowl's feathers I've saved. Plenty of them are, too, enough to make a nice, fat, double-feather bed.
Perhaps he'll marry Lucy Throckton. She suits him right well, both being rather full in habit.
Lily Hunpatch, you've been keeping a very still tongue in your head about your doings last night. A very still tongue you be. And it looks queer for a girl to come riding along of our Joe in the black of night with a good home and a... middling good father yonder.
Well, Joe just said as you wanted me to come and help with the berries. That's why I come.
It's no good mum chancing like that, Lily. You may as well out with it, soon or late.
Oh, Lil, you'd better tell. Go on, take off your bonnet and show Mother your hair.
Right then. There.
Oh. Oh, my goodness gracious. However, you can't be shorn like that, child. There now, it'll soon grow again.
It won't grow for years and years. I've got to choose between being married looking like a ninepin in a veil or waiting till I'm even older and deaf.
Lil.
You ungrateful child. 25 is young enough for anybody. Woman's bones aren't set proper for that. It's mean little brats of children yours will be if you wed this side of 25. But of course you can, because your hair won't be growing.
Mother, poor Lil's very miserable. I think you might give her a bit of comfort.
Well, I'm sorry if I was nasty, but to say such things to you and you, Joe's sister. And to be so high and mighty with Joe, as good a lad as ever stepped. Now, if we're going to get those old berries, we'd best hurry before that fat Lucy Throckton gets them all, because here she comes, like a sleepy bumblebee from Woods End Way.
Hello, Lucy.
Hello.
Any good berries over there?
Excuse me. Can you tell me the way to Lost Within?
Oh, mercy, you startle me. Oh, are you and Miss preached at the funeral yesterday?
Oh, that's right. This signpost doesn't say much.
Oh, that. Nobody takes any notice of that. You can't go with signposts here. You must go the way they'll let you. But they post do for the county councils to be busy about.
And the way to Lost Within?
Well... what do you say to a cup of tea, it being so hot and all?
Well, I'm sure I'm much obliged.
Well, come and sit you down, then. I'll call the girls. Deb?
Yes, Mother?
Lily?
Hello?
Here's someone you both knows.
We meet again, then, Miss Arden. Good afternoon, Miss Hunpatch.
Why, Mr. Southernwood. Oh, fancy seeing you here.
Lily be walking out with our Joe, Mr. Southernwood.
Oh, why not?
Do you like walking out, Miss Hunpatch?
It depends who with. Deb! Your safety pins undone and your belt's crooked.
And this is Lucy Throckton, Mr. Southernwood. That does credit to her victuals, I can tell you.
So I see.
Mr. Southernwood, would you like one of my berries? I'll pick you out a real good one, shall I?
You come with me, Lily. You can gather some sticks to kindle a fire for tea.
Why can't Deb go? I was just going to give Mr. Southernwood one of my berries.
You heard what I said, Lily Unpatch. Come along. And Lucy, you can fill the kettle at the stream.
Oh, I will that. I'm ready for bucketfuls of tea. The sweat's pouring off me till I feel right thin.
Oh, you don't look it. Come along, Lily.
I don't see why I should have to get the nasty old sticks while Deb stays behind.
So I've got my second chance. My name's Stephen, and yours is Deborah, isn't it? You know, I never saw a soul in chapel yesterday except you, Deborah, and I haven't stopped thinking about you since I met you. Why do you look away all the time? You're not afraid of me, are you? That's better. Now, where do you live?
Upper Leasowes.
Can I come to Upper Leasowes?
No.
I'll tell you what. I'll come whether you say I can or not, just to see you. Let's go for a stroll, and if they call us, we'll pretend not to hear.
Mother will just holler until we answer.
Hello?
Come on up, Lil. Well, do you like it?
Like what?
Well, that cottage, of course.
Oh, it's real nice, Joe.
Lil, what will your name be this time tomorrow?
Lily Arden.
Aye. What else?
Mrs. Oh, Joe, I can't. I daren't.
Oh, what's come over you, Lil? What are you afeard of?
I can't tell you, Joe. I can't. And, oh, what a dear little bedroom and all. And roses on the jug. I can't go through with it, Joe. It's what your mother said about this time next year.
There, there. Don't you fret. Things just comes, you know. We just got to keep loving and read the book a bit. And it's all easy.
Not for me.
Oh, no, I know. And I mean sorry. And I'll do all I can to be a good chap, Lil. I'll cook for you and wash for you. I wish I could do all for you, but I can't.
Joe, couldn't we be just brother and sister?
No. It's all or nothing, Lil.
Oh, dear. I don't want to be married and have children. And I don't want to give up this dear little cottage and the veil and all.
You must say, Lil, all or not.
Oh, it can't be naught, Joe.
All, then?
I suppose so.
For certain sure?
Yes.
Then I'll do my best to suit you. And I promise you shall set the pace.
Oh, dear, I do love a wedding. Lend me your kerchief, John.
Yeah.
Ah, Joe, look grand. Such a man and all, the very model of his father.
He's the making of a better man than me and him, Mother.
Oh, now that's not true, is it, Dad?
Of course not. There's no one better than you, Father.
Oh. Deborah, may I walk back with you?
Oh, why, yes, Stephen, if you've a mind to. We'll see you back at home then, Mother.
Well, you are then. What do you think of young Stephen, John?
Well, he's got a goodish way to go, and it's a dark road to the heart of God when you grope by other men's lights. But at long last, he'll be a fine chap, if he comes through. A fine chap.
I've taken a dislike to the marriage service, Deborah. I can't stand being tied to anything, can you?
Well, so long as you're tied where you want to be, I don't see as it matters. I mean, you'd stay there anyway.
But who knows where he wants to be? I'll tell you where I want to be now, though. Just where I am. Alone with you.
And I'd rather be here with you, Stephen, than on that mountain over there. Do you see it? It's called the Devil's Chair. And some say the ghosts go wandering there to seek a king. But they cannot see the one they chose for the mist. And the tale goes that when the ghosts can see the one they've chosen for king, it'll be the end of the world.
What a tale. I'll go to the old devil's chair and look for him, if you'll come with me. Oh, Deborah, do you know you're most awfully pretty?
No, I'm not. You've only got straight hair, not wavy like Lily's.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's very long.
Pretty fair. What are you doing?
Only feeling it.
Oh, you mustn't. I've never done such a thing as let my hair down before.
You didn't let it down. I did. And you're the prettiest girl in the world. May I kiss you, Deborah?
Oh, you mustn't. It's not right.
Oh, everything's right if we love each other. And you do love me, don't you, Deborah? Say you do. I love you so much.
I don't know.
Well, think. Quick, I must know. I've never seen anyone a bit like you, and I want you, Deb. I shan't give you these hairpins back till you say, one, if you'll come to Lammas Fair with me. Two, if you'll come to what you call him's chair. And three, if you'll sit on my knee now.
No, Stephen.
Are you going to promise? Or shall I chuck these pins in the street?
Oh, don't. Oh, Father and Mother will think I'm flighty if I go back with my hair down. And I'll never hear the last of it from Eli.
Then promise. There goes one.
Oh.
There goes another.
Oh, look, I've come to Lammas Fair.
Go on.
Oh, not the rest.
Well, there go two more then. Only five left.
But he won't stay up with less. It's too heavy.
Well, then.
Well, all right, I'll come to the devil's chair.
And I'll save you the trouble of the rest. Oh, Deb, darling. Will you come and live with me right away so that I can always pull your hair down and kiss you?
Stephen, you must let me think. When I can or when I'm with you. But now we must get back to the wedding party or they'll miss us. Now, please, Stephen, because Father trusts me and I get the cannon.
It's a lovely party, Joe.
Here are Deb and Stephen at last. Oh, I think she's carrying on awful.
Look at her hair. Anyone can see as he undid it.
I'll undo yours tonight.
Hush, Joe. Whatever will people think?
Well, let's have a song now. What do you say, Deb?
Yes, let's. What should we sing, Father?
Well, shall we have the golden arrow?
Oh, yes.
The golden arrow. What's that?
I don't expect you know it, Stephen. It's an old song about an old ancient custom. In time gone by, the lads and lasses in these parts was used to go at Easter time and look for the golden arrow. And it was said as if two that were walking out found it, they'd cling to it fast, though it might wound them sore. And there'd be a charm on them, and sorrow, and a great joy. And naught could part them, neither in the flower of life nor in death.
And the tale goes that once, long ago, two found it in the thickets down yonder.
Aye, and they come through sleep singing, and with such a scent of apple blossom about them as never was, though apple blossom time was a full month off. And such a power of honeybees about them as you only see in summertime. And they went like folks as want naught of any man, walking fast and looking far.
Never a soul saw them after.
Good riddance to bad rubbish.
Hold your noisy life.
But every year, when the ghosts go a-wandering round the devil's chair, them as found the arrow come two by two. There's a good few old women as comes first in the tale, like old ancient brown trees, groping and muttering. Then they all set up a cry like a yew tree on a windy night. Out of mind, out of mind. And then the ghosts stir like poplars, all grey and misty-like, in a ring round the devil's chair. And there's no sound but sobbing.
Oh, an old you with a hiccup for lights.
And in a bit, there's a noise of singing. And in come the lovers, very gladsome, standing among the grahams with a rosy light on them. And they one and all speak for the flock master to be king, him as lights shepherds home and carries the dropped foals.
What a strange story. Strange.
What I allus say and allus will is that them grey ghosts has died respected are more to my liking than a gang of unruly folk with apple blossoms shedding petals all over the place and the Lord knows who to clean up.
Apple blossoms might have set into good cookers at 7 shillings the pot.
Come along then, everyone. Take parts and tune up.
All right, well, I'll begin it then.
We have sorted, we have sorted the golden arrow. Right the sandy willows sway. Two by five ways narrow. On
the I've never seen you look so pretty. Shall we slip away to our cottage? It's getting late.
If you like, Joe.
Ah, well, come on. They're so busy singing, they won't notice us go.
Cottage, Lil.
Isn't it dandy? It feels just as if we was doing wrong.
Aye, but we're not. For we're taking the bitter along of the sweet. It's folks who want all ale and no workers do wrong.
Oh, Joe, what do you want to damp it all for?
Oh, now don't take on, Lil. Oh, Lord, that old fire's out. I'll start it up quick and make your cup of tea. You go on up to bed. I'll bring it up to you.
Oh, it's nice down here, Joe. Can I stay here?
No, Lil.
Oh. Oh, there's a bit pat. I'm afraid. A nasty bit pat. Let me stay down here, Joe. Oh, I want to stay as I am. Why should I slave and get ugly and sick for the sake of breaths I don't want? Oh, why did I ever take you, Joanne? And me so young and all, and you're so sick.
Now, Lil, you're tired. See here, let's get these fanglements off you. You can have a good long sleep in this chair. You'll be as right as a trivet in the morning.
We'll have a rare day at the fair tomorrow. You'll
stay by me, Joe. And dinner, let the bit bats come flying.
Nell, wake up. It's gone 7. We'll be late for the fair. Nell. Do you feel bad, Lil? Spending all night in that old chair?
No, Joe.
Sleepy, then?
No, Joe.
Are you wishing you was back along of old Eli?
No.
Well, what then, Lil?
I wish we needn't go, Joe.
Not go? Why ever not?
Oh, Joe. Can you see?
You mean?
Yes, Joe.
Oh. We'll wait a while, then. Shall we, Lil?
Yes, Joe. Deb and Stephen don't mind if we're in the
No, Stephen, please. Mother.
Well, if he won't, he won't. Why you consider it wrong for me to kiss your arm when I kissed your mouth? Lord only knows.
Oh, don't I hit that caterpillar, Stephen?
I'll stamp on it if you don't let me kiss your arm.
Oh, all right, then.
Hello?
Stop, Stephen. Joe and Lil's coming.
Oh, hello, Joe. We thought you were never coming.
Well, we were getting the late side, I'm afraid. But what's it matter?
What indeed? You two old married folk go on in front, Joe. Deb and I will follow at our leisure.
I bet you will. Come on, then, Lil. We'll see you both at the fair.
Don't be long, will you?
We won't.
Let's sit down, Deb. I want to talk to you.
I want to ask you a very big thing. I want to ask you if you'd live with me without marriage.
Stephen.
You see, it's become such a mockery to me, all that. I don't believe in it, and I always did hate fuss and promises and to be tied down. I'd shoot myself first. But if you'll take me, Devin, I swear to you here and now that you'll never repent it. I'll love you far more than wives are loved, and be faithful to you forever.
What the hell's that noise?
It's only the grouse.
What a din. It startled me. Deb, what do you say?
Well, I've done it all. Set a lot of store by marriage about here, you see. Wed and gray's white. Done a wed and white's black.
Well, if you think more of Joe than me.
You know I don't, Stephen.
Well, then.
And there's me, Stephen.
You?
I, me. Well, I'm like other women, and I want what they want. A ring and to be Mrs.
Oh, well, if I'm not good enough to make up for that, I'm sorry. You don't want me, that's obvious. I'll go.
Oh, no, Stephen, don't leave me, please. Just let me think a bit.
I don't like half-hearted givers.
I'm not half-hearted. I'm not. If I give, I give without stinting of the best I've got. But the heartbreak and the sorrow which you're bringing on them I love is almost more than I can bear. Do you love me true, Stephen Southernwood?
Yes, Deborah.
Will you love me unto the last turning and to the end of the road?
Yes.
Do you want me so bad that you're lost without me?
Of course. Oh, Deb, say yes.
Stephen, are you certain sure? Are you?
Before God, I am.
All right, then. You can ask me.
Deborah Arden, will you be my sweetheart and my mate and the love of my life?
Oh, Stephen.
Answer me, Deb.
I'll be your sweetheart and your mate till I lie in the daisies and the love of your life while life lasts.
Deb, I love you so much. You've never regretted it. I swear.
Well, let's go on to the others now, Stephen, for I've no more to give and no more to say for a while.
But I was just going to kiss you.
Not now. Not after that. I'd as leave kiss in church. It's a new road we've started on, Stephen, and a winding one. Never let go my hand.
I never will, then.
Oh, my God.
Oh, isn't this fun, Deb? It's ages since I've been on a merry-go-round.
Don't hold me so tight, Stephen. You're hurting me. No, please let me go.
Oh, no fear. I want to hold you forever. Oh, Deb, when will you come and live with me?
Oh, please, Stephen, let go. You're hurting me.
I'll let go when you answer me.
You said you was fond of me, Stephen.
I tell you, it's because I'm fond of you. And if you were as fond of me, you'd give me my answer.
Not now, please. Later, when we're alone.
Now, if you won't say no, I'll get up and leave you. Perhaps Joe and Lily will be glad of my company. It's obvious you're not.
Oh, no, come back. Stephen! Stephen!
Hello, Deb. Wherever Mr. Suddenwood going in such a hurry? He looks awful cool. Which way did he go, Lucy? From that way, I think.
Now, where are you off to, for goodness sake?
Stephen! Stephen!
Deb! Oh, thank God I found you. Oh, Deb, I'm a beast to go off like that. I'll never leave you again, I swear it. Look, I'll kneel down and promise.
It's all right, Stephen. Only do get up, folks are staring.
Oh, let's get away from here. I hate all these people. I want to be alone with you. And I want that kiss, Deb, to show you've forgiven me.
Oh, Stephen, you know I'd forgive you anything. But I'd sooner not kiss you just now.
Look here, Deb, do you love me?
Aye, Stephen, I love you true.
Well, then, I kissed you in the little wood that first time. Didn't you like it?
Not all that. It made me feel queer-like.
We'd better have this out here and now. Do you know what marriage means?
I'd sooner not talk of such things yet.
Well, I choose to, so I shall. Do you know what it means?
Aye.
Well, living with me will be the same. So if you can't even do with kissing... How did you feel when I kissed you?
Well, faint-like, and as if I was no better than I should be.
You didn't like it?
No.
Well, it's time you learned to, so I'll take what I've a right to. When can I come and fetch you, Deb?
Oh, Stephen, don't ask me yet. I must get them used to it at home and get used to it myself. Well, if you won't do as I ask you, you dunna love me. And if you dunna love me beyond kissing and that, there's no right road but the parted road. Oh, there's only one kind of true love, Stephen, the kind that gives and asks not.
But I can't go against nature.
I know you can. And I'm not the woman to wed a man that could.
All right. I'll be good. Oh, but when can I come and fetch you? Will you come to the Devil's Chair with me on Sunday and tell me that?
Oh, no, not there, Stephen, I dare.
Oh, nonsense. You'll be safe with me. Sunday, then.
All right, if I'm with you. But come Sunday at the Devil's Chair.
Those damn birds again. What a row. Here we are, then. God, it's bleak up here. I'm going to stand on the silly old chair.
Oh, no. No, Stephen, don't. It'll be black harm for both of us.
Oh, what harm can come to us when we love each other, Dad? Just hold on to me and you'll be all right.
I'll always hold on to you, Stephen.
Oh, what a superstitious lot you all are around here. The Devil's Chair, indeed. It's just an old rock and I can't see any ghosts around either. Ah, here we are, Dad, at last. I feel like the king of the castle.
Please, Stephen, let's go down now. We might be struck down.
Can I kiss you? Oh, Deb. I can't wait forever. When will you come?
I must tell Father and Mother. I don't know how to.
Since you must, it may as well be soon. I'll tell you what. I'll come tomorrow and help you tell. And Deb, I've got something for you. Look.
Oh, Stephen! Oh, did you get that specially for me?
Well, I didn't see why you shouldn't have your ring. I shall make you a vow when I put it on. Hold out your hand. Deborah Arden. With this ring, I plight thee my troth forever. I worship you, body and soul. Amen. Oh, Deb, love me forever. stay by me?
I will that, Stephen. Oh, but Father and Mother...
I'll come tomorrow evening and help you tell them.
Deb, I'm back. Where are you?
Here, Mother. Tea's ready.
Good girl. Well, mother and child both doing well. They're all over nicely before the doctor came. Bless me, no more notice took than if I said it's raining. Deborah Arden, it's time you gave over thinking there's naught in the world but flowers and birds and such. It's time you were serious and saw there's only three things as matters to a good woman. The bride bed, the child bed, and the death bed.
Tea ready, Deb. I can do with it. I'm that hungry.
It's all ready, Father.
Will you open the door, John?
Yes, Mother. Oh, it's you, Stephen. Come in, lad. Would you like a cup of tea?
No, thanks.
Well, is there anything you want, lad?
Yes, I...
Well, what is it?
Mr. and Mrs. Arden, I've come to ask for Deborah.
Oh.
Only we don't want to be married.
You don't?
Because I don't approve of it.
You bad, wicked, ne'er-do-well of a fellow to try and take my good girl's
mother,
name,
Mother! Be silent! Leave the lad to say safe.
Now, Stephen. Mr. Arden, though we shan't be married, I swear to you that it'll be just the same. I love her with my whole soul and body, and I'll love her till death. I love her better than myself.
Deborah, what do you say?
I say as I love him. And I'll follow him through the world.
Not without the ring and the bell and the register, Deborah. Not while I live.
Be quiet, Mother. Well, dear.
I'll do whatever Stephen says.
And you'll give all for naught?
He's chosen me out of the whole world. Naught else matters.
So long as we're all in all to each other, it's just the same as marriage.
Aye. So long as...
Marriage makes things no better if you're sick of each other.
Never a bit. But are you sure you're man enough to keep a woman safe, Stephen? It's a long, winding road, and she'll be footsore time and again. Think, lad.
I am. I love her so much.
And would you give up your principles for her sake, Stephen? Your principles about not marrying me?
No. Yes, I would if she asked it. She knows I would.
She never will. Well, may God be with you and light your candle, Deborah, my child. And I shall keep your lamp alight for you here, if you should ever want to come home again.
Ah, you and your lamp.
And when did you think of going?
I've got a cottage by the Devil's Chair. There's no other that's empty. The landlord's begun the repairs today. He seemed pleased and surprised to let it. It'll be ready next week. When will you come, Deborah?
Deborah, when you come for me, Stephen.
Here we are, Deb. In you go. Now, this is the kitchen, and this is the parlor.
Oh, Stephen, it's all so pretty. And you've done it all in these few days, I cannot think how.
No sleep.
Oh, you must sleep well tonight.
Oui, Deb.
Oui. Oh, Stephen, don't pull my hair down. I did it so carefully. Someone's sure to come.
Never a soul, Deb. Never a soul. Kiss me.
Don't hold me so tight. Please. I kind of get my breath. Stephen, you're hurting me. Steve?
Deborah? Deborah, you all right? Oh, my God. Deborah!
I?
God, I'm a brute. Your father was quite right. I'm not the fit.
Oh, Stephen, I love you. I wouldn't have you different.
Oh, don't. I shall be the same again, I know.
Listen. What's that noise?
Oh, it's a lot of sheep coming from the Devil's Chair. They're running away from something. They've gone down the hill now, into the mist.
They're running from the Devil's Chair. Folks say they're open like that. I'll go.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
See, lie, Stephen.
Walk in, old party.
Thou art the man. The woman tempted thee. Flee from this place.
Oh, not likely. Would you like some wedding cake?
I will neither eat bread nor drink wine until I have turned the hearts of the people.
Oh, your loss.
when them there bones of yours be laying in the soggy wet ground and them two eyes with pennies on them.
Oh, dry
and
up.
Not but a poor white skeleton left.
Drop it, I said.
How is the faithful city become a harlot? Oh. Deborah Arden, I proclaim you before this man, and I will proclaim you in the parishes of Lost Willing, Sleep and Finnery, unless you get in my trap and come home with me. Weeping and gnashing your teeth. I will proclaim you with your brazen ways and your body as is given to lust. I will proclaim you a whore.
Why, you...
Oh, no, Stephen, don't hurt him. He's an old man.
Fight you over. No misjustice and no mercy. I curse you all fruit and grass. And you're lying down and you're rising up and may you burn everlastingly. Who's no citizen can the Lord?
Oh, don't laugh at him, Stephen. It only makes him worse.
Get out, you damned old fool.
He's thrown his Bible at you, Stephen. Oh, it's a curse. A curse.
Dead, darling. Don't be frightened. That old fool can't possibly harm us.
Oh.
Hush now. Don't cry. Wake up. It's going to be a glorious day. The first since we came here.
Oh, it's awful early.
You are lazy. If I were a plowman like Joe, you'd have to get up at this time every day.
Oh, couldn't I have just one more nap and you go on without me?
No, it's getting light and we should miss the best of it if we're not quick.
Mm.
In fact, we're too late now. I'm beginning to think I'd rather stay here, too. Kiss me.
I'll dress quick, Stephen.
Oh, so you're ready to get up to avoid me, is that it?
Oh, how can you say such things? You love a woman like a lad loves cake till there ain't a knot left. And you think of Stephen Southernwood a deal more than's good for you.
Well, you don't care about me a bit. You don't know what love is.
Stephen, there's a lamp hangs outside my bedroom door at home that's lit for me nights by Father. Never a one missed for 23 years. And you say I don't know what love is. Can you say you've done as much for me?
I will do. And more. Only it's time you learned that you're my woman and not my great-grandmother. You're mine, do you hear?
No more yours than your mine. Not if we're lovers as well as man and woman. Oh, can you be like it says in that nice hymn? Lover of my soul. Well, just this morning, you've been the other kind of lover all the while.
Would you like it if I wasn't?
You know I love only you in the world.
Well, if you love me, you must want what I choose when I choose.
Oh, you're so eager you cannot stop to think of me no more than the rock on the mountain. It's not your fault if you're made that way, I know. As long as you're for me and I'm for you, naught else matters. Only never leave me, Stephen, never leave me.
Oh, Deb, darling, I'm a beast to make you cry. I'll do your dress up for you to show you I'm sorry.
Oh, Stephen, I wish I didn't make you angry.
Oh, Deb, darling, it's me that's at fault, not you. Look, I'll put a pillow and blanket on the floor and sleep there for a week as a punishment.
Oh, but Stephen, you mustn't.
No, don't stop me. I've made up my mind. And I deserve it.
Oh, that'll be Father. He said he'd come today. Oh, quick, Stephen, let's go down and let him in.
Stephen! Bring you up.
Yes, Father, we're coming. Just a moment. Father, I'm so pleased to see you.
Oh, Deb, my dear, how are you?
Hungry. You too, I expect. I'll go and start the breakfast.
Well, now, Stephen, that's all coming on nicely outside. You've done wonders. And Deb's looking fine, lad.
I'm doing my best, Father. Now, I didn't at first, I'm afraid.
I know, lad.
How did you know?
The lump's not been a light in your face all that long. You're a bit of a self-chastiser, aren't you, lad? And I don't think the worse of you for it. I was wondering, lad, if you could come along some evening and then join me a hand with Eli's sheep. You can ride, I dare say.
A bit, yes.
Yeah, I was thinking it was in your line how you ever come to be doing the preaching in black coat and waistcoat beats me.
Oh, I've had enough of that. You can't stick at one thing forever.
Come on, you two men. I've made some tea. Breakfast won't be long. What were you saying about Eli's sheep, Father?
Well, since his old mare died, he's good for naught, poor chap. You've not heard, then?
No, tell us.
It was the night you come here it happened. It seems he was seen driving like a fiend from these parts, uphill and downhill, shouting text and cussing and flogging poor old Speedwell till she had no more breath in her. Joe and Lily saw him pass through sleep and they thought he must have gone crazed.
I can imagine it.
The woman who cooks for Eli says that when they come tearing into the yard, the poor old mare just shuddered and fell down in the shafts, and there was naught Eli could do to coax her up again. Eli wept over that old mare. He was as near loving her as he could get to loving anyone.
Love? He doesn't know the meaning of the word.
He knew he'd killed her, all right. And he cried out, leave me and my sin to the hand of the Lord and let him deal with me as he thinks fit. And, of course, the animals and that must be seen after. So I thought if Joe would borrow a horse and you'd ride Whitefoot, Stephen, we'd soon round up the sheep for him.
Ah, he's a stupid old fool, but all right. Which day?
Tomorrow.
Right.
You and Lily must come along, Deb, and Mother will bring tea, and we'll have a bit of a run, Billy.
Deb, I fixed you up a washing line between these two dead trees.
Why, sooner they came down, Stephen. They give me the creeps. They look like bleached bones thrown down from the devil's chair. There's some say as in heat like this, the chair shakes and a tongue of flame leaps from it like a torch.
Oh, that's just superstition, Deb. But if you don't like the trees, I'll have them down in a week or two. They'll make good fuel. Now, come on, I'll help you hang the clothes up. Have you enjoyed your washing day?
Aye, the first since we were... I was going to say since we were wed. Oh, Stephen, couldn't you bring yourself to it?
What?
Wedding me.
Who's been talking to you, Deb?
Lily.
Damn Lily.
But everyone's the same. No one's been to see us.
And a good thing, too.
But Mother's the same, and Joe.
Joe, what on earth does he matter?
Stephen, would you dislike it all that much?
Yes, I would. Besides, I hate to give in. They'd think it was their doing.
But it won't be. It'll be me. Stephen, I put that old blanket and pillow back on the bed this morning. The week's up.
Oh, Deb. I love you so much. I don't deserve anyone like you. Do you really want us to be married, Deb?
Why, Stephen, I do, but only if you want it too.
Then... will you marry me, Deborah Arden?
Are you certain sure, Stephen?
I was never more sure of anything in my life.
Then I, Stephen, I will. And thank you.
What are you doing away from work, Stephen?
Getting married.
Married?
Yes, Mother. We wanted you and Father to be the first to know.
Well, dear sake. Well, I'm glad. Not what you ought to have done it to Bright Pitiful, Stephen.
No, it's nothing to do with me. Deborah wanted it.
Quite right, too. And I'm glad you've done it in such good time.
Oh, Mother.
Good time for what, Mrs. Arden?
Never you mind, lad. But you can call me Mother now, Stephen, if you've a mind, seeing as you've done as you should. John! John! Oh, well, there's the man. He's never about when he's wanted. John!
What's all the noise about?
John, now, didn't I tell you when you made such a bobs a dying about these two that it'd be all right in the end? Well, it be. They're better for worse, as nice, and they're man and wife and none to put asunder.
Well, I didn't think it was me that made the fuss, oh, Mother. But I'm pleased that you're pleased, and I wish you both all good.
Thank you, Father.
Here's a letter for you, Mrs.
Who's it from, Eli?
Me. And you needn't think it's a merrymaking nor a tea, as you invite you to.
What is it, then?
It's me. The miserable sinner as you see afore you. But not such a sinner as some I could name. I see you, Stephen Southernwood. Where's my Bible?
Maybe you'd like to know, as Deborah and Stephen are married right and proper.
So the words of the wise, that's to say me, have shown them the error of their ways.
Nothing of the sort, you old jack-in-the-box.
Well, you might as well come along to chapel on Irish Thanksgiving at 3 sharp and get saved, Southernwood. I'd be going to preach, very special. That's what it says in the letter.
Preach? Good Lord. What about?
Never you mind, you just come. You,
and the woman God's given you.
Well, I'm sure we don't want to listen to your driveling all night, you old fool. Well, let's go home, Deb.
Goodbye, Father and Mother. We just wanted to tell you our news on our way home from church.
And good news it is, my dear. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye,
good night, sinner. And if you're going through sleep, you can take this here invitation to Joe and that daughter of mine. It'll save me. And get some of the lust of youth out of you.
All right. We meant to call on Joe and Lil anyway.
That's right. We want him to know it's we're happening to ours, too.
I shall keep it. I told a man if I'd pay 2 shillings a week.
Oh, he says to go straight back, Lily.
No. It's a lovely locket and dirt cheap. I was going to put some of your nasty black hair on
it. You send it back, do you hear? Lockets. On 16 shillings a week.
Can we come in, Joe?
Aye. Come in, both of you. And being as how you've come, you might take a small parcel for me to the post. Lily, bring me that locket.
Yes, Joe.
Joe, we thought we'd come and tell you, as we're married.
Oh, you don't say. Stephen, I think the better of you. Marriage is a grand thing.
Is it, Joe? We've brought you both a letter from Lily's father.
Oh? Well, he is a funny old bird. Listen, Eli Huntbatch has pleasure in announcing as he intends to speak at 3 prompt Sunday on sin, his own especial. The Lord wishes you to attend.
The old fool's mad.
What was you reading, Joe?
Oh, a letter from your father. Hey, Deb and Stephen have come to see us. They're married.
Oh, I'm sure glad to hear it, Deb. There couldn't be any blessing without the holy estate, could there?
Joe, the sweat's made streaks down your black face. If you don't wash for your wife, you might for company.
Right you are. Don't you come with me, Stephen? I got a pig I'd like you to see.
Yes, I heard you've got one.
Do you like my new lace collar, Deb?
Oh, it's lovely, Lil. But I'd send back the locket if I was you.
Oh, you was listening then?
I couldn't help hearing.
Well, I want the locket. I'm fond of it.
But you're fonder of Joe, aren't you?
Oh, Joe. Listen.
I thought if you'd care for a bit of a loan, Joe, would surprise you. No, don't thank your kindness, Steve. She must learn to make doing what I get. If she cannot now, well, what about when the little ones come?
Oh, good Lord, man, you're not bringing your kids already, have you?
Of course. I calculated it all up before I asked, Lil.
Calculated what?
Wages and insurance and how many kids I thought to have.
And what's the reckoning?
6. It's a good middling number.
6?
How many do you want yourself, Stephen?
Oh, Lord, none.
None?
What do you want 6 for goodness sake?
I have to do my duty.
Your duty?
Doing her too.
King and country.
And what about Lily?
Lily must do hers.
You are lucky, Deb. Stephen's worth 100 of Joe. Fancy him wanting to give me the locket. He must think I look nice in it, mustn't he?
Hope Joe will let him.
Oh, Joe's so busy doing his duties. No king has never so much as saw his face that he's got no time to think of me.
Now we must be off, Joe. It's getting late. Deb doesn't like walking near the devil's chair in the dark. Deb, it's time to go. You ready?
Coming, Stephen.
That damned owl. I hate it.
Oh, it's saying, what ails you?
Autumn's a beastly season.
Well, spring will come again afore we know it.
Well, not for nearly half a year. We might be dead before that.
Stephen!
Well, we might. Don't let's take that path by the devil's chair tonight, Deb. It gives me the creeps. It looks evil up there in the moonlight.
Well, we'll take the lower path then. Stephen. What did you and Joe talk about in the garden this evening?
His beastly old pig.
Oh, what a fib, Stephen. I heard you.
Did you? And did Lily hear old Joe's program?
Aye.
What a lark.
Well, not for Lily. And it wasn't only Joe that said things, Stephen. I heard what you said, too, about not wanting any little ones.
Oh, that, well, I had to say something. He was so solemn.
Did you say it just to aggravate Joe, then?
Well, partly. Oh, but I don't want to talk to you about it. I want to get home.
Well, who else should you talk of your children to but the woman as'll bear them? Who else should you tell your wishes to and your sorrows and the way you must like the wind nights? And I know you do, along of you covering your ears.
Oh, damn. Oh, come on, let's hurry home. It gives me the creeps out here. God, place.
And the Lord drove me to it. Now, listen what I tell you. I be a great sinner. Cursed are they that smile, for they shall weep. And all they that rejoice shall be utterly cast down. When the silver cord is loosed and the golden bowl is broken,
There shall be a weeping and a wailing.
And so is your sermon and your God. There is no devil, no God, no immortality, no anything. I'm not staying here to listen to your rubbish any longer.
Stephen!
And Judas went out into the night.
Only it ain't. We've not had our tea yet.
Leave me and my sin to the hand of the Lord. And let him deal with me as he thinks best.
Stephen!
Whatever, Lord.
What is it? Aren't you well? Well, tell me.
Nothing, only a bit of a headache.
You'll come back to the tea, won't you? A cup of tea will make you feel better.
I can't. That old devil in there.
Oh, Eli's done his prating now, and if he starts on at you again, I'll give him a piece of my mind. Oh, please come, Stephen. Unless you'd rather go home.
No, I'll come. I'm sorry, Deb.
I'm glad to be home again, Stephen. And I'm that tired.
I'm not surprised after walking all that way. This is the most godforsaken spot I've ever known.
Move.
I wish we lived in Lostwithin, where there are lights and people and a bit of life. I'll make up the fire to make the place more cheerful.
What in hell we went to that awful affair for, I don't know.
That's better. It's burning up nicely. Let's sit down and have something hot to drink.
Well, can't we go to bed, Stephen? I'm that tired.
Well, you can if you like. I shan't. I'd rather sit here.
You're not angered with me, are you, Stephen?
Angered? Of course not.
Well, then I'll stay along with you. Draw up to the fire and I'll get you a cup of tea.
Things seem so much better when I'm alone with you, Deb. You make everything seem different.
We're together, and that cures all. Naught can part us. Not even dying.
Oh, don't.
Well, I'll touch wood then. That's a sure charm.
I didn't mean that.
No, I wish we could be together more. Instead of you down at the mine and me up here. When you leave me mornings, I stop living till you're back. And I kind of stop thinking of all things that might come to you down there.
Well, that's morbid.
No, it's love of you. Oh, Stephen, it frightens me when I think as you're more to me than Father and God put together. And when you're away out of my sight and hearing, I feel frostbitten. There's always the fear that something might happen to you and me not there. If the rock crusher... Oh, Stephen, if ever it caught you, how could I get caught too?
Deb, you don't mean...
I mean I'd take the one thing left as I wanted.
What?
To be as you was. And then if we was to wake again, we'd wake together. And if not, what did it matter?
I wish you didn't feel like that.
So do I. When a man or woman feels like that, they're not to be cured. Not this side of silence. As soon cure folk of breathing. We're together now, warm and cozy, so naught matters. Stephen, I thought to go and see Nancy Cora next Saturday.
What on earth for?
Oh, I just told Lily. Yes, I spoke with her.
Now we can unbolt the door. That'll be 5 shillings each, counting the stuff you can take home. It's as plain a sin as you're both in the family way. But if you're sensible and take that stuff, you'll not be so wizen-faced when you come next week.
Johnny, you take it. They'll leave it here.
You're a softy, Deb Radden. You'll be worser and worser afore you're better. And you wish you'd taken old Nancy's advice. Now, Lily's a sensible girl, aren't you, dearie? And it's 5 shillings just the same, with or without the stuff.
Well, I don't want the stuff, Nancy Corrie. You can keep it. And here's your old 5 shillings. You only told me what I wanted to hear. Come on, Lil, let's get out of here quick.
Same kind of gladsome day for both of us, then, Lil.
Gladsome?
Miserable, I calls it. Walk a bit of the way home with me, will you?
Oh, I want to get back, or Stephen will be waiting.
You're soft about that chap. Can a man be left a minute to get his own tea?
Stephen's not a man.
Are you back, Lil?
Why, Lil?
Oh.
What's up? You're like a duck in thunder.
I'm all right, Joe. Come here. I want to whisper you something.
Hmm? Well, I could have told you that.
That's not what the husbands say in books. How much you care, you selfish beast. Oh, I
Lil,
go through and never
Lil,
would have thanked
no,
you.
No, Lil, that's not fair. You know I'd go through it for you if I could. There's naught I wouldn't go through for you.
Prove it, then.
All right. I will.
What are you doing with that poker, Joe?
Making it red hot.
But why?
You'll see. Now, I'll prove it.
Oh, no, not your hand, Joe. Joe!
Keep away. I said I'd prove it, and that's what I'm doing. Oh, damnation.
Oh, Joe!
I couldn't hold it there no longer.
My word, you've proved it all right, Joe. Well, look at your hand. Where's the oil?
It's in the cupboard. I'll get it. Here it is.
Oh, no, Joe, that's mine. Oh, what an awful smell it scorched me. Dear sakes, Joe, what's gone on your hand? Here, give me that bottle I put the oil on. Phew, this ain't oil. I know what this is.
Oh, the oil's upstairs. I'll fetch it.
Joe, I've come down that hill as I never did afore. I must have a word with you before I go back. And as for that bottle, fling it on the rubbish heap quick.
But it seems queer to break one of Lily's bottles without her leave.
When you've heard what I've come to tell you, you won't think so. Now go on, lad.
All right, if you say so.
Here's the oil, Mrs. Arden.
Oh, thank you, Lil. Well, my dear, I hear there's some grand news for me. And I bought you some at the lock. It's early days yet, but time soon passes. There. One of Joe's old baby gowns. Now, you put it away safe.
Thank you, Mrs. Arden.
My hand ain't half sore.
Come here then, lad, and I'll bind it up for you. Oh, my. What a nasty place you are, a great baby burning yourself. That's better. Now, Lil, take the oil upstairs and put it away. There's a good girl.
I will, lad.
Joe, I'll have to tell you what was in that bottle. It was something old Nancy gave Lil to get rid of that baby.
What?
If you were done a lookout, there's no knowing what'll come to pass. Deb told me as they'd both been to Nancy's, all innocent-like, to find out if what they suspected was true.
But Lily would never have the heart. Why, she said
what
to me...
What does it matter what she said?
Well, I'm darned.
Now, if you're angered when you're talking to a lad, just mind you of your wedding night. I need to be off home. Goodbye, lad. Don't be too hard on her.
Lily! Lily! Come here.
What is it, Joe?
What were you doing with Nancy's bottle?
Oh, you know it was Nancy's. Oh, it's not but rhubarb.
Oh, I learned you to lie to me. And I want to know why you let me grill my hand like a rasher when you went all the time to... Oh, Lil. You've got to promise me never to take no more of Nancy's stuff and never to tell me no more lies. Don't you want to have little ones sitting round the table with their little mugs?
No.
No? Why not?
Because little ones means pain and work and worry, and mugs means washing up.
Well, oh, listen, Lil. If you go on nice and proper this time, I'll let you off the other five. I thought to have six, and... Look, I'll do the work for you evenings when I get back, and borrow Whitefoot to go drives.
And buy me the locket.
I and buy the locket, I promise. Only no more games, Lil, and I'll stick to what I said. Lil, what'll I be this time next year, eh?
A donkey.
Come on, give us that.
John! Oh, whatever it is, the man never in the quarter he wanted, like a weathercock in winter. John!
Here I've been, Mother. I've been lighting Deb's little lamp.
Mm. Well, now, you must fetch the apples and the nuts and the water.
Oh, now, one at a time. Don't I overdrive the willing horse?
It's me that's overdrove, with Stephen and Deb coming for the night and all.
Why did you ask him, then?
John Arden, would you let your own girl, as you're busy lighting a useless lamp for, trudge the road past midnight, and she 3 months in her time?
You don't say.
I say, and I know. But Deb hasn't said aught to Stephen yet, so don't go blurting out nothing on Stephen.
Well, to think of my little lass.
Your little lass will want some water to make her a cup of tea, more than she'll want you to stand there talking forever.
Well, make the fire up, then. The kettle will soon boil.
Ah, Joe.
Hello, Dad.
And you, Lil.
Hello, Joe.
You're the first to arrive. Any news?
There might be. How'd you like being old grandfather? And you so spry and all.
Joe, the whole world will know soon the way you go on.
Well, my goodness, that's grand news.
Well, the party's begun, I see. Leastways, two, three, poor foolish folk have done it no better than to be walked in through the muck like goslings for a scrap of meat.
If you be a gosling, Eli, come and cackle by the fire. Come in, Lucy.
Hello.
Make yourself comfortable by the fire. Give me your coat.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Arden. What a night. Oh, move over, Mr. Hunfatch, and make room for me.
If I was you, Lucy Thrupton, I wouldn't get no fatter. It don't look respectable.
Here we be, Father.
Ah, Deb and Stephen at last. Come in.
Evening, Stephen.
And take off them wet coats.
Come and sit by me, Stephen.
I'm all right over here, thank you, Lily.
I saw my lamp shining a long way off, Bob. I'm glad you still keep it lit.
It's the kindly light, my dear. I like to keep it there for you, especially.
Well, Southern Wood, you gallus young whippersnapper.
Well, you sour old great-grandfather.
Deb, my dear, is your tea putting some heart into you? The roads be long in the dark.
Yes, thank you, Mother.
You like one of my salt cakes, Lucy?
Oh, I mean that.
Our traveling's only a circle. And whether we're outward or homeward bound, we're just as nigh the sun.
Mother says when they give a salt cake to folks in time past, they used to say, God have your soul, bones and all.
How horrible.
If you're too high and mighty to want the Lord to get your soul, Southern Wood, what'll you do when the devil gets it, eh?
There is no devil.
Why, there's his chair, close by where you be living.
It's empty, there's no devil there.
There is a devil, I know there is.
I wish there was.
Oh, well, come on now, if we're going to play the fool with them apples, Mother, let's begin.
Hand them round, then. Now, everyone's got to peel one without breaking it. Throw the peel over your shoulder, and it'll make the initial of your future husband or wife. But if you're married, it'll be of your first...
Mother, can I have a better apple than this?
Of course, my dear. Here you are.
I shouldn't put yourself about, Lucy. It'll only make a big round knot.
Oh, I know you are.
Listen. Can you hear them sheep? Year in, year out, I hear the sheep cry nights. But never as they cry on Halloween and Midsummer night. For they see the flock master with his worn feet and his eye for sorrow and the wideness of his pity.
There'd be no one there. No one.
A penny for your thoughts, Mr. Suddenwood.
Better pay £1,000 not to know them, Lucy.
Lord, Stephen, what ails you? You're never going to get like Eli. Never happy unless you are miserable.
No, no. The lad's only thinking out something in the machinery line. Them things take a power of thinking on.
Well, look, Mother. Stephen sliced his apple the best. Throw it down, Stephen.
Oh, look. Oh. It's the letter N.
N for nothing. Oh, I wish I lived here, Mr. Arden. There's no devil's chair to get on your nerves here.
If you only look, lad, you can see all colors in that black rock. And sparkling white, too.
Oh, what makes you think the things you do? About the flock master and all that? How do you make up such things?
I don't make them up. I say them like that for lack of better ways. I've seen him lead his flock in the sky. I've heard his voice in the heather. What's so wonderful in that?
Father, did you hear as Mr. Pryor sent in 50 shorthorn to America?
No, I haven't heard.
They'd be glad enough some good Shropshire milk in America, poor thing.
He cannot get a man to go along with him for love or money, seemingly. He's offering good money, I hear.
What? What sort of a man does he want?
Oh, handy chap, honest enough.
You say he'd pay good wages?
You know anyone like you then, Stephen?
I know one chap, but he may be tied.
No, I think we should all sing a hymn.
Well, before that, can we have the golden arrow?
Oh, there's neither sense nor godliness in them words.
It's a grand song. Aye. Now, come on then, everyone.
We have sought the golden arrow. Bright the sandy willows sway, two and two by pathways narrow, arming crook along the mountain way, break the frost and break the day,
summing
through the gloom, when we found it, when we found the golden arrow,
You're not eating much breakfast, Stephen. Aren't you hungry?
Not very.
You were that restless in the night.
I had a rotten night. Frightful nightmares.
Can you stay at home today, Stephen?
I must do my work, Deb.
Oh, please, Stephen, don't go for my sake. If you get notice given you, I'll not complain, whatever we come to.
Oh, Deb, be sensible. Let me get off to work.
Oh, the fog. Oh, dear heart, I cannot let you go.
I must go. I'm not a stupid sheep. I know the way.
There's been some has lost their way in the dark of a white fog. Oh, Stephen, stay with me just today.
Oh, don't start pleading again, Deb. It tears my heart.
Don't go to work, Stephen. Please, just today.
Why today?
But today we're sure on. Today's ours. We're not sure on any other day.
I must do my work, Deb. You know that. Don't get silly ideas in your head. I should be as right as a trivet.
Oh, Stephen, don't you think you might sometime get a bit of a sheep work or something and be at home like Father is?
Well, get a sheep farm, but what for?
So's to take away the day-long sorrow.
What sorrow?
Being away from you. All the world's against you when your man's away, if you love him.
Deb, don't. I must go.
There's thunder and machinery and runaway horses and a slip on the hillside. It turns me sick. Oh, there's so many things set against lovers.
But those things don't really happen, Deb.
They do. Every day. And they might happen to you and me not there.
Nonsense. I shall be all right. You have a nice time and read by the fire. Look, the fog's clearing. I must go now. I shall be late.
But whatever you do, don't leave the path, Stephen.
I won't. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Stephen! He's gone. Till 6 o'clock.
Here's a note for you, missus.
He's not hurt, is he? Quick, tell me.
What are you after shaking me for? Is the word
the foreman, my man, Southernwood.
Hurted? No, he gave me this note to bring you.
You're sure he's all right?
Didn't I say so?
I'm sorry I was rough, lad. Would you like an apple?
Thanks.
Obliged to go away.
Away?
I've asked your father to come and take me home. Forgive me.
Oh. Don't love me no more. It's true. He don't love me no more. Oh. It's so dark. I'm dreaming. I'll wake for love. This was our home. Never no more. None must touch it. None must lay hands on it. If it's not for Stephen and me, it's for no one else. I'll burn it.
Is anyone at home? It's only old Auntie, dearie. It's a bad night to be out. I was along of a young woman that was took bad and lost prison, and now I doesn't go home in all this snow. Whatever were you doing with all this furniture outside?
Help me. You must help me. The table, then the dresser. Did you hear the devil cry?
It's only the wind, dearie.
There he is again.
And there go the dark riders. Come along with me and see what a nice cup of tea will do for you. You're crazed for sure.
There's a child up by the devil's chair. Listen.
Hark at him shrieking. He's dragging him.
Let's be going to my place, quick. A terrible night. Here, Ted. Gonna set fire to it.
Yes, rest of them, would you marry your son, Sid? I'm not staying here to get burned along with all that stuff. It's a wicked waste.
Wicked waste? No. It's the kindly light.
God help all poor benighted folk. God keep Stephen for I gotta. Oh, Father, is my light still a light? For I sore need you.
Dinna complain, yer. It's all your fault.
What is?
You know right well.
If I had him here, I'd tear him inch me, I would.
Happy Christmas, Eli.
Happy Christmas? Will you come and have a look at my sheep a bit? They got foot rot. But it takes two to dress them.
I'll come when Deborah's better and not afore.
Oh, I'm surprised at you, John. Selfish to the bone. Their market value's going down every day.
Dear sakes. You talk as if the world was naught but pounds, shillings, and pence.
So it is, and the sharpest gets them.
I'd sooner lose them.
And that you surely will, John, like it or no.
Is Deb awake?
Aye. She's coming downstairs. I thought it might cheer her up to be with us on Christmas Day and all. Ah, here she is. Be careful, my dear. Lean on me. There. There, now sit you down by the fire. That's the way. It's nice to see you downstairs again, Deb.
Thank you, Father.
Here we are, Mother.
Oh, ah, happy Christmas to you all.
Happy Christmas. Christmas.
Happy Christmas.
Hello, Deb. How are you feeling?
I'm all right, John.
I hope you'll soon be well, Deb.
Aye, I'll soon be well.
Damn his eyes.
And I say the same.
You must swear, Joe. I wish you'd swear genteel.
Damn who, Joe? Damn who, Joe?
Oh, here comes Sleep Handbell.
Aye. Yes, I think old cat at all.
Damn who, Joe?
Let's say something, Joe.
Why, Cadwallader, Deb. The damn Cadwallader. And his missus. And his kid.
You're kindly welcome, neighbors. Come inside. Come here.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas.
Happy Christmas.
What are you going to give us, gentlemen?
Oh, good Christian memory. Joyce is the one we know best.
Well, that'll do very nice.
Right.
Now, here, Lily. Pass round the meat pies, my dears.
Well, Joe, what's one and one, Mick?
Two. What a soft riddle.
Wrong. One and one makes three, eh?
Very mild for the season, isn't it?
A mild drop in time.
I thought it was a black frost. A long black frost.
In the black frosts, there's greens and reds down under. And summer in the making, Deb, my dear.
Aye, that's true.
Oh, you tell us they're all sixes and sevens at the mine since Southern Wood's gone. The manager can't get the men in hand no more than a babby. He got away with him at Southern Wood, they say, though he was young. Oh! Oh, what do you want to tread on my foot so heavy for, Mr. Shakespeare?
All sixes and sevens, are they?
Aye, missus.
And they can't get on without him?
Oh, no danger, missus.
Aye, they'll miss him. They'll not find his like. There's no one in the whole world like my Stephen. There's no one in the whole world.
Oh, Deb. Don't stand there talking, John. Go and find our Deb and bring her back inside. She can't stand a bit of cold.
Deb, give me them reins. Loose your hands, will you, lass? What ails you, my dear? Can't you tell me? Why don't you come home now? You'll starve with cold. I'm cold, too.
Aye, it's cold. Cold as death.
There's no need to talk of death. We're all well and hearty, thank God.
It came on me sudden-like. As Stephen...
Yes, Deb?
As Stephen might be dead. Dead and lonesome. And though he don't love me, nor yet didn't want me, he might be lonesome and wanting me if he was in the cold grave and me not there.
I see. Well...
And so it seemed to me as I might go to him if he was dead, though I couldn't live with him in life. And so I fetched the reins and came up here...
Gonna go on, lass, that sooner you didn't. Deb, he's not dead. He's maybe in sore trouble, but he's not dead.
How do you know?
I just know. He'll come back at long last.
Won't be any use. He doesn't love me.
But he might be ill and want nursing, and he'd want you then.
Only for a while.
Maybe, but you'd not like him to be asking for you to nurse him, and you're not there.
I want him, and I gotta find him.
We must live in hopes, my dear. He'll come back, you'll see. He must come back.
How can you be sure, Father? How can anyone be sure?
Right, I'm free now. I'll come.
Oh, good morning, Mr.
Arden, sir. John Arden. Would you kindly read this? I'd be obliged if you'd put it in your newspaper.
If Mr. Stephen Southernwood will write to this office, he will hear something to his advantage and oblige. Oh, yes, that's quite clear.
You think it'll fetch him? Or had I best explain a bit?
It sounds inviting. Money, I suppose?
No, not money. A little and soon.
Good Lord. No, I shouldn't explain, if you want him.
And it'll find him for sure, in America.
Well, of course, America's a very big place. Though with a large circulation, he might not see it. Still, we'll try it, shall we? Now, can I have your name and address?
Now, stop your crying, and I'll send you to sleep. We have sought the golden arrow. Bright the sally billows sway to and to by pathways narrow.
Deborah.
Stephen. You look tired.
I was, but not now. I'm home again.
There's a look on you as if you've been ill.
I had typhoid. I was in hospital for months. That was why I didn't come. And the minute I knew I couldn't, I wanted to more than anything in this life or any other. I was off my head for a long time. I couldn't remember anything except your name. I couldn't get to you. And I couldn't live without you. Deborah, I know I've no right to ask you now, but please, may I kiss you?
I know you'd sooner not, but thank you kindly for asking, Stephen.
But I've come half across the world for it.
Aye, but first you went away. There's no ill will, Stephen, and I understand. You thought you loved me best in the world, and you came to see it different.
I didn't know. I didn't understand. But I do now. Oh, I love you. Can't you see?
See what, Stephen?
That I love you better than myself. Can't you believe it now, Deborah?
No. Never, no more. Oh, done a taking, so there's not a miss. Stephen, would you like to see our child?
Child?
Aye. The only thing I've ever done for you. See here. His name's John, after father. Miss Lily has named her son Stephen.
It's very small, isn't it?
No, he's big for his age. No, there, I must take him indoors and give him his son.
Can't you stay and feed him here?
No.
You hate the sight of me. I'd better go.
Stephen, I love only you in the whole world.
Then can't you believe that I love you? How can I make you believe?
You cannot. You told me you did it for, and it wasn't true. I cannot believe anything again. I gave you all I had, and you flung it back in my face. I've no ill feeling, Stephen. But I've no more to give.
The dew's falling. You two should be home. Good night, Deborah.
Good night, Stephen. And may the kindly light be along with you.
Hush, now, my dear. He can't be far away. And if he's to be found by mortal man, father will find him for solitude.
Oh, he came back, and I sent him away. Oh, it doesn't matter if he loves me or no, I want him. He thinks I said I love him no more, he'll never come back. Oh, Stephen, Stephen!
There, he'll come back, you'll see.
Ask
this
you
time of night, borrowing's all the wind season, it seems. But since you're here, you may as well see what a fine boy Deb's got. Well?
Just like his scoundrelly father. Where's my Bible?
There she is. Go to her, Stephen. Oh, go to her.
Talk of the devil.
Deb, my darling.
You young fool. You want to go down on the floor like a struck bullock? Why can't you go down on your knees to the Lord Almighty?
Eli, get out.
What?
Get out.
Oh,
and many were turned empty away.
This way, Eli.
Why, if he was my son, a figure I...
And mother, you come too.
Why,
I'm thinking it's the shipping for you and me tonight.
Aye, John, they need no onlooker. Shall I kindle a bit of fire for them and light the lamp?
No, mother.
Thank you, but there's no need.
The lad speaks true, mother. For do you not mind the tale of them that found the golden arrow? The golden arrow that brings love and sorrow both. And went with apple blossom scent round them, and a mort of bees and warm ship, and wanted naught of any man. There's no need of fire or candle for them, my dear, for they've got their light. The kindly light as will show them the way while cut love's mending, and the thorns white over.
In The Golden Arrow by Mary Webb, adapted from her novel by Penelope Shaw and Norman Painting, the cast was as follows. John Arden, Sebastian Shaw, Patty Arden, Marjorie Westbury, Deborah Arden, Jill Mears, Stephen Southernwood, Anthony Pedley, Joe Arden, Christopher Robbie, Eli Huntbatch, Basil Jones, Lily Huntbatch, Bridget Wood, Lucy Thruckton, Gay Rourke, Nancy Cora, Jean Boat. Other parts were played by Gerald Turner, John Bott, George Woolley, and Peter Biddle. The music was taken from Delius Over the Hills and Far Away, and the tune Golden Arrow was composed by Stephen Hancock. Production from the Midlands was by Anthony Cornish. Sebastian Shaw is a member of the Royal Shakespeare Company.